The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday on a Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better, into the deeper parts of Philippians we travel to understand what things the Lord doth require of us and learn to apply God's timeless truths into our lives. And if we fall short, to seek his aid in order to do better and to be better. First up, if Jesus didn't find it necessary to hold on to his divine position when he willingly became a man, what could we possibly have in our lives that we think we need to hold on to? Next, we examine the best way to make our lives of smaller reputation. It's amazingly simple to see. It's just not very simple for many of us to do. And finally, society is freaking out right now about privilege, but this is not a new thing, and Jesus shows us his example of how we are supposed to view any human privilege.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavily talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Just a whole bunch more. How much more? A ton more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can call in. Now, that's using the phone, dialing the numbers, and actually somebody answers the phone. You can actually do that. 972-445-0770. You can text in. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can hire a person who has an airplane that does skywriting and do your best to get all of the answers in while we're here in the studio in the middle of the building. I'm not going to go into suggesting you should do that third one, but it's there just in case. Keep in mind a few things. One, for praise reports, always. For prayer requests, always. For pop questions, if we can do something with it. And for trivia, let's open up with trivia. Here we go. The Sabaeans took his oxen and his donkeys. The lightning killed his sheep. The Chaldeans stole his camels, and his servants were killed. To whom did all these things happen? Wow. If you know the answer, you can text in or you can call in. Either way, keep in mind any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, we already have people calling in. It's like, I'm not even getting through my intros anymore, but that's okay. All right, here we go. We got somebody calling in. I'm getting ready to hit the little button, as long as I hit it correctly. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie, how you doing? Thank you, by the way, brother, for your blessing. We appreciate it.
I help you as much as I can, my brother.
I appreciate that. You know that. All right, my friend, so this particular person, talk about going through it, right? This person went through it, him and the oxen and the donkey, and he had his camels, and then his servants were killed, and even his children. Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Job.
That is correct, sir. We are talking about Job. And so I'll give you a chance. I think you'll really appreciate this. One, not a lot of teaching about Job's wife, who also lost all those things, okay? Not a lot of discussion there, which I always find amazing because, I mean, I understand she was bitter, but, I mean, that, wow, what was she thinking? And then number two, which I always find amazing, is as good as he did, do you remember what his sin was, what the one thing was that he got challenged on that he, you know, the, after all of that, two really good chapters and then 31 really not great chapters, do you remember what his sin was that he was confronted
on? Oh, definitely, pride.
Yeah, it was pride. Now watch this. It was connected to the fact that he justified himself rather than God. And it's like, man, I do that all the time. That's like, wow. That's, I mean, it's just like, that's right. I'm right, God. I know it, you know, kind of attitude. And it's like, yeah. So excellent job, my brother. Very, very good.
Can I add a little bit tidbit to that?
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
You know, you were talking about his wife, but you also got to remember that his wife, they were kind of like unequally yoked, and she didn't know God like he did.
That's an excellent point, is she didn't have that connection the way that Job did and didn't enjoy it. But she did suffer a lot of loss.
Yeah, because, you know, he was the one that was doing everything.
Yeah.
He was just, you know, I don't know what she was doing. But a lot of times you have mates and they believe in God, but there's different levels.
Yeah, that's a fascinating point of view. I love that you brought that up, and I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. God bless you, my brother.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay. So great job, Ronnie. Just open it up. I love the way it starts off that way. And by the way, you don't hear me say this often, right? And I think that T will testify to this. But I will say yesterday's show was unique. It was a unique show.
It was.
So it's up on the podcast. That people, you can listen to it. That's the one where I did with Ray. I think it's really good. And then he texted me afterwards, just so everybody can know. And he said, why you? No, he didn't say He said he had so much fun that he wants to be able, I'm serious, that he wants to be able to come back and do like hot topics or various topics from time to time. So I just told him as long as we can do it live, it's fine.
Well, that's exciting.
Isn't that great? So he wants to be able to become a little bit more a part of it. So I think that's fantastic. Number two, I'll wait and tell you this in the next segment. We got to get into the teaching. So remember, it's Expository Teaching Day, and that means we hear this sound.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Like I told you, that has nothing to do with anything other than I just happen to like it. Here we go, Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 6. I'm going to go, this is going to be Christology 101. Christology is the study of Jesus Christ. Here it is, verse 6. Well, let's actually start with verse 5, I guess we'll be fine. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Let's talk about this. We talked about this a little bit last Thursday, how Jesus Christ is the only being ever who fully represents God, fully represents man. He was born by the Holy Spirit, which is God, and by Mary, which is mankind, and put those two together, and that's how you have the mediator who can represent God to man and man to God. There's only one being in all faith, all religions, all belief systems that has made that proclamation and has that story built out and has that defined in Holy Writ. Here is something that will perhaps really blow your mind, but these little words mean a lot of stuff. He being in the very nature God. Let me just tell you that word being in the very nature God, that's the Greek word morphe. Okay, guys, ever watch, do you ever watch The Matrix? Morpheus, remember Morpheus? Okay, well, morphe is the metamorphosis process that we all discuss when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, right? There's this process. but there's a unique hitch in this Greek word and how it's put together. The first thing that's being said is that Jesus Christ, being in the very nature, being in the very nature of God, his form, the word morphe at its core means essence or reality. Jesus in his essence is God. All those people that say, well, you don't really got to believe that Jesus is God, that's 100% false. You absolutely, positively, as a core piece of faith, must understand that Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be God. That is a major tenet of the Christian faith, period. And for people that don't get that, they are not there. That's my, that's so mean. Tough. That's my answer. It's like, I can't do anything about it. I don't write the book. I just share the book. In fact, all my material is at least 2,000 years old or older. And here's the bottom line. Jesus, in the very form, the very essence, the very reality of God, now watch this, reduces his authority, not his nature, and takes on the form of a man. And when we get into this, you're going to be really going crazy, because there's some really interesting stuff. But listen to what the verse says. Being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. The New King James Version says, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. That's what I want to talk about before we exit, because I only got a minute. What is it that you're holding on to that you can't let go of? And how could you possibly compare that to the fact that Jesus didn't hold on to his status of authority in the Godhead by reducing himself willfully? What is it that you have that you won't let go of? If Jesus took that humble position, and we're going to find out how he did that, and that is what the communication is to us, then what could we possibly have in life that we're holding on to that we're not willing to let go of? That, my friends, is the practical application of that passage. We understand that Jesus is in nature and essence God, but he did not consider equality with God, God the Father at the Godhead, something to be grasped, so he let go of it. What will we not let go of? Ouch! And it only goes higher from here. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
With his special guest today, Focus on the Family Trauma Specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this, they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this? And what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. Until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly, and that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finish my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why that. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do No.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, we're already off and rolling. I did tell Terrific T, this is a little more theological, so it's got a little more esoteric, but still got some good application, right? So, I mean, if you hear something and you're like, what? You can always ask a question like, why are you doing that?
Why are you doing that, Dave?
I have no idea. That's my answer. Let me give you a couple things, and then we'll get into the trivia question. So I want to thank the audience. What? I want to thank the audience because you guys, I've asked you guys to pray. I've asked you to be praying for me in some of the schooling, and I think that most people will testify that when I first started getting involved in the schooling, I was a little, I think the apprehensive might have been the appropriate word. Now that we've made this switch into a doctor of ministry for apologetics, and I've got all these different little things going on, I've got to tell you that today, can I say this? I've got to be careful saying this. Today is the first time that instead of being apprehensive, I'm excited about this. That's a big difference. You know, people that you go through it and you're like, eh. You know, I'm not going to really liken it unto a diet. Okay, I'm going to liken it unto a diet. So you like do a diet and then you're like, eh. But then you get some results, you get further in and you start thinking, hey, this is pretty cool. Hey, this is working out. And so that's kind of the feeling that I'm going through. So I really appreciate everybody praying for me and lifting me up and ask you to continue to do so. But I just had some interaction with my new head professor and guy's a classic. I love it. I'm so excited about that. Okay, a couple things we need to cover. Let's cover trivia. We had Ronnie calling in on the last one. Now, he's our guy. You got him. You got Vern. You got different people. You got Len. You got different people that call in, different people that text. Do your best. And if we need to give you some extra time, everybody who's an expert at it, we'll give you extra time. The idea is not for the first person to reach the answer. The idea is to get the answer that we're talking about. That's the purpose of trivia, to keep these things in our minds. Now, this is I'm going to phrase this on purpose a different way. So just be aware of that. Now, you know there's the 12 disciples, okay? All right. What is the name of the first of the 12 disciples that was executed? What is the name of the first one of the 12 that was executed? Ooh, Dave. Yeah, I'm a nice guy. Well, website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so one thing I did add that I decided to add, and people, this is not, I cannot say this any clearer. If you listen to the show at all, you know I am a Bible guy, okay? And but I did put up on the website a link, article that Wayne Grudem wrote that had to do with whether or not pastors or churches can talk about politics because of the tax exempt and so on and so forth. It's a really well-written article. It is up on the website. And just in case you're wondering, it really comes down to one essence, and that is a nonprofit cannot or is not supposed to endorse specifically a candidate or stand specifically against a candidate. They can bring out biblical principles. You just can't say, you know, I vote for, you know, Richie Rich. You know, you can't do that. Or I vote for, you know, Little Dot or, you know, Little Lotta. You can't do that. You understand that? That's my whole. So if you want to read the article, it's pretty good. It's I think he did a really good job, and he's a great PhD guy that's done. He did the general editing for the ESV notes, which is really done well. Okay, so that's the question we're asking on the trivia part of things. Who was the first of the 12 original disciples who was executed? Okay, which already tells you that leaves out Judas. Because Judas took his own life. Okay? All right. Let's get back into... am I missing anything? We got everything, right? Okay. Got it covered. Let's get into this next portion. This is the portion you won't necessarily like because it really requires us to be humble. Here we go. Verse 6. Who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Here we go. But made himself nothing. Uh-oh. This is right here. This is the problem here. He made himself nothing. It's also written, he's made himself of no reputation. So if you watch on Facebook, or if you watch on Twitter or some of these other social media platforms, which I mean, a lot of people know this better than I, but people are always trying to build a reputation. And you cannot say that's really different than this show in the sense that we're trying to communicate the word of God. We want people to have an idea of what the show is. But the intent and the process are all important. Jesus did not seek his own reputation to be built, but what he sought was to continually point to the Father. He made himself nothing by withdrawing on an equal plane, becoming a human. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of them are at a 10. Jesus, in the Greek, it even says, set aside or put aside his position of authority to become a servant, to become a man, to become humble, and in that process did nothing but point to the Father. Let me tell you something right now. You can tell who you're living for by just looking at who you're pointing to. That's everything. When you do music or when you do work, even if your work does not involve, if your work involves more of a labor-oriented, repetitive nature. So if you're on like an assembly line or anything along those lines, or your job seems to have just a lot of consistency and you might even say from time to time, it's not a lot of action, but it is the job and it's the job they do. That's not the issue. The issue is in your doing it, who are you pointing to? The fact that you do a great job or the fact that God gave you breath and life so you could live? That's what it's all about right there. In fact, Jesus went, you could even say he went beyond that. He sought to further the Father's reputation. Now watch this. He sought to further God the Father's reputation. And a perfect example is when he said, when you pray, do you remember what the first two words are? He doesn't say, when you pray, say, my Father. When you pray, say, our Father, who art thou in heaven. And so the first thing he does is he says, look, and this is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, the most powerful sermon ever given, essentially, and the three chapters, the 30 minutes, most well-known in all the universe, he's pointing to the Father. Okay? He's teaching. He's telling what he's got. He's giving it out. He's doing it perfectly because he has a perfect spirit, and he doesn't have the corruptness that I have or that other teachers have or that other people have. But his whole thing is he's pointing to the Father, and he's seeking to further the Father's reputation. And you can see all of that just in the simplicity of understanding that Jesus said, okay, when you pray, say, our Father. Okay, our Father. And for all those people that are out there going, that's sexist. Well, tell God he's sexist because God doesn't care. Okay? Because it says our father. Abba. Okay? Not our Fido. It's our father. You understand that difference? Okay. Right. Time to cut me off. I know it is. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie again.
Hey, Ronnie. That was nice of you to give people an opportunity to call in. I know you did that. You're a good man. All right, my friend. Out of the 12, knowing it's not Judas, who was the first one that was executed?
James.
That is correct, sir. Did you remember that circumstance where he was thrust into prison? Do you remember about where that was in the Bible?
If I'm not mistaken, it's in Acts. He's a sixth.
Yeah, it's a little higher up. Up there by 12. Acts 12 is when he got executed.
Well, I fall short.
That's right. Well, that's what grace is all about, brother. that's why we have grace. Do you remember who was put in prison right after him?
Peter.
That's correct. Only Peter, he was prayed for, he escaped, but nobody believed it because when he came knocking on the door, they were going, oh, that's not him.
Yeah, but see how God honors prayer. Even though they didn't believe that Peter was outside, he still sent him outside and got him out of jail.
That's right. I think that's one of my favorite stories. I usually do a sermon on that called The Divine Comedy. Because he's out there, he's shushing people. he's on the run. It's like, they're like, nah, that's not you. It's like, let me in. That's classic.
Oh, all right, you know what they say, it's his ghost.
That's a classic. Excellent job, my brother. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, Ronnie, helping us out on today's show. We appreciate that, too. All right, so the bottom line to this is Jesus made himself of no reputation. He made himself nothing. And what's important about that is for us to understand that when you wake up, it's not about how you can glorify yourself. Okay? You can't. And it's not about, you know, what can you do to give praise? If you want to really do it right, if you really want to understand it right, it's... If you can wake up, if you can do this after you get awake in conscience or whatever, if you can just before the Lord just say, I want to honor you today. You don't even have to say some huge, big, long, drawn out. I just want to honor you today. I want to be that person that helps point people towards you. Okay, that's all you got to do. The Lord will give you plenty of opportunity to fulfill that. All right, now when we get back. Theology, oh my theology. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Ha 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 ha! Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, I got a lot to cover in this next segment, and I'm going to say this in the nicest possible way for everybody to hear me and understand what I'm trying to do here. This next section that we're talking about, Philippians, is an excessive amount of Christology, and I absolutely need the time to take it to do it right. So we're going to cover a few things, go through a few things, and I'm going to jump right into it and probably do the trivia at the end. It's probably just an easier way for me to pull that off. A couple things I do want you to be aware of. Be aware of. Do not forget the Bucket Ministry that we've been promoting. We think it's a really good ministry. Not only is it a really good ministry, they're just good people. And you've got Renee and Chris, who are a big part of the Bucket Ministry. And all I'm asking you to do, I'm not asking you to do a lot of weird stuff. Just go to thebucketministry.org and check them out. See if that's something that you connect with or identify with. That's one of the things that in radio that I've learned I think is crucial is that no matter what the cause is, different people connect to different causes. And there's nothing wrong with that in any way, shape, or form. But there's no way that you hear about them unless somebody mentions them. So, of course, we're going to mention that, and we want you to check it out, and we just want you to pray for them. I mean, their whole ministry is about people drinking water that's clean enough so they don't get sick. Like, okay. I mean, who's going to argue with that? All right, let's not forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so don't forget to check out the website. Like I said, we've got the new political link up at the top. Plus, that's also a place to give. Hint, hint, hint. And I don't agree to do that. Next time, we're going to get like some cymbals. We go, you know, something like that. All right, we're going to get into the text in a second. I do want to make sure we cover a little bit of history. So let's have our history sound.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, not a lot of time for this, but let's say it's National Punctuation Day, which is something that anybody who texts knows does not go very well. It's like, you're right? It's like the worst. It's so bad. It's like you're better off using emojis than you are like writing. Isn't that true sometimes?
That is very true.
Because you'll put, and then you'll capitalize. You don't mean to capitalize. And then I use voice recognition. I mean, I've had the most bizarre things come up on my phone when I'm trying to voice recognition somebody else. It's like not even close. It's like, where did they get that? You know, it's one of those weird things. It's also, for those that want to know, National Cherries Jubilee Day, which is like, okay, Jerry's Jubilee. I'm okay with that. Let's see. In 1789, the United States Supreme Court and the position of the Attorney General are established on this day in 1789. For those that are interested and still waiting for some old back mail, the United States Post Office was established in 1789 as well. So if you don't get the letter, you know, some things take a while. Okay. The last two things that are really important to say. This is very important to me. The Sci-Fi Channel had made its debut in 1992. You know what the first movie was? You want to take a guess? Take any guess in the world. You'd be amazed how close you'd be. Anything. Any sci-fi movie you've ever seen.
Like Star Wars?
That's the one! Oh, wow. I knew you were going to get it. See how good I am? Because I knew. That's right. Star Wars. That was it. That was their first show. And then for those that really need to understand the depth of this, I cannot help you, but in 1952 on this day, Kentucky Fried Chicken opened up its first franchise. If you've ever seen So I Married an Axe Murderer, you understand that there's addictive qualities in Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yummy.
Yummy. Love it. I don't care. All right, let's get into the text. And the reason is because it's so important for you to understand this portion. So here we're starting with the verse 6. We even talked about that. Now we're going to verse 7. Verse 6, who being in the very nature God, and remember nature, that's the word. Morphe, the essence, Jesus's essence is God, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, which is important for us because in the King James, where New King James interprets it, something to be held on to, and too many of us are holding on to things. If Jesus didn't hold on to that aspect of his divinity in the sense of authority and position and yielded in the what we call the order of procession, if that's what Jesus did, how could we say that there's anything we deserve to hold on to? There's just no way he can justify it. Verse 7, but he made himself nothing, which we talked about, and here is the big portion. He made himself nothing, but taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. When it says that he emptied himself, or when he, you know, he took on the very nature of a servant, the New King James, he emptied himself. This is a critical element. He subjected his divine abilities, watch this, to the leading of the Father through the Spirit. Never before in the order of procession had this taken place until Jesus was manifest as fully God and fully man. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And in that position, he yielded so that the Father directed the Son by the Spirit through the communion that the Father and the Son had to set an example for you and I on how to walk. Jesus didn't do all of it for the fun of it. He did it to redeem us, and he did it to show us the way that you engage with the Father and how you do that through the Spirit. What's crucial, and now we can all do that because of Christ. And what's crucial is this one little phrase, just one word. You'd just be like, how could that possibly mean anything? It's just a word. But he made himself nothing. Get ready. Taking the very nature of a servant. So what you have in verse 6, get ready, here you go, is Jesus, morphe, theo. He is in essence God. He is in his quality, in his who he is God. And then by becoming human, he took the very nature of a servant, and that word taking is labon in the Greek. And why that's so important, you're thinking, how can one word taking mean so much? The word means, it does not imply exchange, but in addition. So Jesus had his divine nature and then taking the very nature of a servant, adding into, in additional to his divine nature, he added the human nature. So it wasn't part of the divine nature and part of the human nature. He fully has the divine nature, and he added in the human nature. And that's how Jesus becomes the mediator between God and men. because he added la bonne. He took it on. It's not an exchange. He didn't give up his divinity and then take on humanity. He took on humanity in addition to his divinity so he could cover both sides. Have you ever looked at a bridge in some of those movies like Indiana Jones? Like, you got the Indiana Jones movie and stuff, and you know the rickety bridge, and it's held together by there's a rope right at both ends. And then when people go across it, some of the boards break, and it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a suspension bridge. That's it, a suspension bridge, right? Okay, Jesus is the knots or the rope that ties the one side to the other. And the stepping part should be the Holy Spirit, but we'll get into that another time. Bottom line, he added into his divine nature, human nature, so that he could represent both. And then he humbled himself within the Godhead to be subjected, to be acknowledging through to the Father through the Spirit. He is now in his human form. He has subjected himself to leadership and took on the form of a servant. And he humbled himself. And what people don't understand, what people miss, is what level of sacrifice that is. That is not you giving up your life so that you can have your heart put into your son or your daughter. That is you going from human form to the form of an ant, because you love ants so much. That moment where Jesus willingly surrenders his position of authority so he can walk the walk, become the sacrifice, all of that is the greatest demonstration. And again, this is not sacrificing for your child. It's not fair to say that because of how far superior God is to us. And that position and decision and action that Jesus took is the single greatest demonstration of love anywhere. You want to know what love is? That's love. You become an altogether lesser entity for the sake of that entity. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And I gave up my life for my dog. Sorry, that's just, it's got to be broader than, larger than, wider than that. That's how much love he has for us. You think you're going to do some stupid act or say some stupid thing and he's going to go, well, I'm just taking all my love back. What are you, nuts? Not after that. That's the demonstration that never fails, right? Oh, my goodness. All right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back with your trivia next.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a Bad Day Day? Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day. I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to. Not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like. This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle, Rocky and his friends, premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked it. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Yeah, and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the – it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together, and I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove. And then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, that doesn't sound right. Skydivid, that doesn't sound right. Skydiv, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, going, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you when drugs, when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day, and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round.
If Jesus,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So I just love that little section that we just did on Jesus Christ and on understanding the level of love. And I think it's really important for people to hear this one point that I want to reiterate before we do anything else, and that is there is no stupid act you could think, do, or say that is greater than that love that Jesus showed. I mean, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I mean, that level of love, yeah, you messed up. Yeah, you're probably going to mess up. Welcome to James chapter 3, verse 2. But anyway, I just think that's just really powerful. Okay, let's get into, we got more to get into, but let's get into our trivia. Here is one that you would probably not think I would ask on the show, but yeah, you'd be wrong. Here we go. This is our trivia question. Solomon said that something biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. What is it? Aha! 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 Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so you know to go to the website. There's a little bit of political stuff up there. Very little. Very, very little. And then most of it's all faith-oriented. And it should be. And one of the things that you'll find out from me is I don't really I catch actually a lot more grief from this than you would think. You know, actually, I made a statement about making sure you use the Bible when you vote. And I got grief from Christians. It's like, wait a second. So I've been really nice. But there is this point where Dave goes, ding, and the cork pops out, and you just, it's just like, look, when you're not using the Word of God as your guide, your principal guide, it's Spirit-led, Bible-grounded. So we want to be grounded in the Word. And that's where you're going to imagine. That's how you can really help you understand when the Spirit is or isn't leading you. That's a major component. And if you know what the voice of God sounds like through His written word, then when He does speak to you, you'll know what He sounds like. You get that? That's why they call it the Word of God. Anyway, there's just a little bit of thought right there. Okay, let's go into this very last segment. This is a, wow. Incredible portion here. So we've been doing a lot of Christology. Here's the next verse. In being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So the humility that Jesus demonstrated by taking, in addition to his divine nature, the human nature, is just outrageous. It's unbelievable. Such humility that he did that. So this proves that by Christ, proves that by Christ, who is God, that there is a process where he became obedient for our sake. He humbled himself for our sake. Now think about that. He humbled himself for you. Now just stop all the deep theology. Jesus humbled himself for you. For you. That's who he did it for. And you think, well, what if I was the only person? Jesus did it for you. He became obedient to the level of death, even death on the cross. By the way, the death on the cross, for those that don't know, in the Roman culture, the death on the cross was reserved for the non-Romans, okay, because they didn't have privileges or rights because they were non-Romans, or the worst criminals. Both. So the crucifixion, the cross, there's a way of death, was for non-Romans and for the absolute dregs of the dregs of the dregs who deserved as every possible person could. There's nobody who would say Adolf Hitler wouldn't have deserved it. You know what I'm saying? That kind of man's mindset. Well, in the Roman culture, if you were non-Roman, it happened to you too. Because there was a privilege in being a Roman. Jesus went straight through that and said, I take no privilege. I take nothing. Here's my life. Crucify me. And they did. But that won the victory, didn't it? So this whole portion in here, when we're in Philippians, I mean, it's superbly important. Who, being in the very nature of God, so we understand that's his essence, didn't consider equality the same level of the God that he had prior to the incarnation. He didn't consider that something to be grasped, something to be held on to, but took on the very nature of a servant, added into his divine nature a human nature, which is amazing, and then became in human likeness and humbled himself to such a level that he even went to the death that was reserved for people that weren't privileged and for the worst criminals, all for our sake. And then you try and figure out as a Christian, does God really get the pain that I go through? And that's why people, well, I won't say, that's why some people even can get frustrated in this, because, well, does Jesus really understand my level of pain? Not only does he understand your level of pain, but he went to such a deeper level by taking, in addition to his divine nature, the human nature, by yielding himself to the direction, and by removing himself in the Godhead from being Father, Son, Holy Spirit, co-equal in the branch, to submitting himself to becoming of human nature, adding that in for his earthly duration. It doesn't last, by the way. But that's what we call the order of procession. Now, of course, at the right hand of the Father. And we get to find out that God honors him above all else by making, watch this, this will blow your mind, the name of Jesus Christ the very name of redemption and salvation. This will blow your mind. This, you'll get really mad at me, and I love you, and it's awesome, but the name Jesus Christ is more associated with redemption than the name Jehovah. Don't get mad at me about it. Somebody says Jesus Christ. You think of the cross, think of the process, think of the death, think of the burial, think of the resurrection. God set it up that way, God the Father. So his name would be honored above every name. It's just like, wait, what? And that's when you get into these, you know, these theological sequences where you go, what about this? What about this? And it's like, I get it. But here's the bottom line. Jesus so loved us that he took on this nature, us, our nature, humbled himself to the point of death, to the death of a criminal, to the death of a non-Roman, a non-citizen, just to say one thing. I love you. I'm like, okay, all right. That's pretty cool. See, you know, if you think of it in that way, somebody once said to me, and I remember hearing this, it's like the greatest deal ever. It's like you're on Let's Make a Deal, only it's not Monty Hall, it's God. And he's like, okay, you can pick one, two, or three. One, you stay where you're at and you go to hell. Two, you stay where you're at and you go to hell. Or three, you accept Jesus Christ and then you can have eternal life, the blessings of God, all the favor, the greatest things that ever happened, the best friend in the world, and you'll have a fantastic eternity. Pick one, two, or three. And it's like, the person says, well, how could you not pick three? It's like, it's like, right. because that's what Jesus provided. Isn't that cool? And then you get into Romans, what can separate us from the love of God? What can separate us from the love of God through Christ? Nothing. Nothing. What? It even says things present or things to come, which, by the way, skips a lot of people. That means things in the now or things in the future. Can't happen. Can't happen. Like, if we don't have some sense of security of that love that comes from Jesus, we're not thinking this through. That would be my statement. Isn't that stuff cool, though? I mean, I know it's theology and it's deep, but it's important to understand that these are the things that have taken place for our redemption's sake. And that's why Philippians, he's like, Paul's like, yeah, look at this, man. And people are like going, whoa. The love of Jesus Christ knows no end. Is that awesome? All right. So our trivia question, I'm going to give it out again. We only have a little bit of time, so you're going to have to text in because our time is almost up. The trivia question is, Solomon said that something biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And I will say that Eric got it correct. I'm just going to say. So there's only 2 minutes left. What is it that Solomon was talking about that biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder? All right. Tomorrow. Because we had Ray on yesterday, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a top three teaching for me, from my mind. It's all about recovery. It's all about recovery and being hurt in Christianity, and it's about the recovery process. And so we've got a lot of cool things that are going to be taking place. Joy stepping in, of course. I knew it. That's right, Joy. You were right. First one. And then here's the bottom line. We've got a very cool lineup coming together, and we have Ray going to be joining us at least on a once-a-month basis. So that's not too shabby. We only have 30 seconds, so I can't take the call because we have to exit. So I'm so sorry if you're calling in. I apologize. The answer, by the way, is what is the thing that biteth, and what is the thing that stingeth, and what is the thing that maketh you not okayeth? And that would be wineth. Or wine. And so what we often say is, would you like a little cheese with that wine? That'd be the complaining wine, though. You kind of missed that joke there. Okay, we're going to go. We're going to come back tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.